In 2026, I mean, it's pretty wild, but like 84% of software developers are actively using AI to write their code.
Yeah, 84%. It's a massive
Right,
shift.
it's massive. But here's this like weird paradox right at the center of that statistic. As artificial intelligence takes over more of the heavy lifting, raw trust in its output is actually falling.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because we're seeing all the weird edge cases.
Exactly. And because of that, human review, the ability to catch AI mistakes and steer the ship is rapidly becoming the most highly paid skill in tech. Welcome to the era of vibe coding.
It's a huge reversal in how we think about value in this industry, really. I mean, we spent decades treating coding like this intense memory
Oh,
test.
yeah. Like, did I put the semicolon in the exact right spot?
Right? Or did you memorize the specific syntax for this one obscure framework? But now the machine remembers all the syntax for you.
Yeah, it has perfect memory.
But it completely lacks structural judgment. So the premium now is entirely on human judgment.
I am so glad we're digging into this today. I really want to welcome you, the listener, directly into this conversation because whether you're a curious beginner who's never written a line of code, or a university student trying to stand out, or even a working developer just trying to stay relevant in this crazy fast-moving landscape.
Which is moving faster every single day.
Totally. Our mission today is custom-tailored for you.
The barrier to entry has quite literally never been lower, yet the ceiling for what a single person can create has never been higher.
Right. So we are taking a deep dive into this extensive, just incredibly detailed source document. It's titled Vibe Coding Side Project Ideas, 25 Plus Builds to Grow Your Skills in 2026.
That's a fantastic resource.
It really is. And our goal here, we're extracting the ultimate roadmap so you can just skip that endless cycle of tutorial hell, learn to use AI the right way, and build a public portfolio that actually gets you hired.
That's the dream, right? Getting hired.
Okay, let's unpack this. We have to start with the phrase that is dominating these sources, vibe coding. I mean, it sounds a bit like, putting a healing crystal next to your laptop and just hoping the application compiles.
It definitely sounds mystical, I'll give you that. But mechanically, it is highly practical.
Okay, how so?
Well, building software used to mean writing every single character by hand. But vibe coding is basically the process of building software using natural language prompts.
Just plain English.
Exactly. You describe what you want in plain English, and an AI coding assistant generates, refines, and debugs the code right alongside you.
So it sounds like we've gone from being the bricklayers who have to like mix the mortar and place every single brick to being the architects and site directors.
That's a great way to look at it.
We're telling the crew what the house should look like, where the doors go, how tall the ceiling should be, but we still have to rigorously inspect the foundation to make sure the whole thing won't just, collapse.
That architect metaphor hits the nail on the head. And it ties directly back to that paradox we opened with.
The trust issue.
Right. The sources emphasize that because we are now generating code at this unprecedented speed, the sheer volume of output has skyrocketed.
It's everywhere.
But the AI is essentially just predicting the next most likely line of code based on its training data. It isn't consciously thinking about complex security vulnerabilities or edge cases.
Or how a change in one file completely breaks a database somewhere else.
Exactly.
So it generates code that looks incredibly plausible, confident even, but could be fundamentally flawed.
Which means your job shifts entirely. You step away from the keyboard as a typist, and you step up as the lead developer, directing a very fast but slightly reckless junior programmer.
A very reckless junior programmer sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. Your primary role in 2026 is to review the output critically, catch the hallucinations, and refine the logic until it's perfectly reliable.
Okay, well, if my new job is the architect, I need to know how to train for that role.
Right.
The sources lay out a roadmap from beginner to advanced based on how long these projects should take. And I really want to look at this blueprint through the lens of that paradox. Like, how does building these specific things train you to catch those AI mistakes?
That's the right question to ask.
So if I'm listening to this and I have, say, a free weekend, just 1 to 3 days, what is the best use of my time?
So the beginner phase is all about momentum. You just need to complete something end to end to understand this new workflow. The classic first build recommended here is a to-do list app using HTML, CSS, and basic JavaScript.
A to-do list feels like the hello world of our generation.
It really does.
But what is it actually teaching you if the AI is writing the code for you?
Well, it teaches you how to prompt an AI to manage state.
State.
Yeah, state is simply the memory of your application. When a user clicks Add Task, The app needs to remember that the task exists, update the screen, and ideally save it to local storage so it doesn't just disappear when the user refreshes the page.
Right, because if you just vaguely tell an AI, make a to-do list, it might build this beautiful interface that completely forgets everything the moment you hit refresh.
Exactly. You learn to prompt specifically for data persistence.
Okay, so once you understand basic state, you quickly realize you need external data. I mean, you can't just rely on what the user types into a box.
No, you need the outside world.
Which naturally leads to the second beginner project the sources highlight, a weather dashboard.
Yes. Here, you use JavaScript to pull live forecast data from a free external weather API.
And an API, or application programming interface, is just a standardized way for two computer systems to talk to each other.
Precisely. Your app asks the National Weather Service for data, and the service sends it back.
But dealing with APIs as a beginner is notoriously frustrating. I mean, I remember trying to learn this years ago, dealing with rate limits where the server just blocks you for asking too many times.
Oh yeah, it's painful.
Or trying to parse messy JSON data, completely confused why my screen was just totally blank. So how does vibe coding actually change that friction?
Well, instead of spending 3 hours reading dense documentation to find the exact URL format, you can now just paste the API documentation link into your AI assistant and say, write the fetch request to get the current temperature in London.
That is so much faster.
It is. But leaning into our paradox, the AI might hallucinate the data structure. It might assume the temperature is labeled temp in the data when the API actually labels it temperature Celsius.
Ah, and then your app crashes.
Right. But when it crashes, you learn to read the error message, feed that error back to the AI, and guide it to the correct solution. You're building a muscle for debugging external connections.
Which perfectly pushes us into the intermediate tier. The sources say these projects take 1 to 2 weeks, and this is where we start connecting the front end, the visual part the user clicks, to the back end, the brain operating behind the scenes.
The standout project here is a URL shortener. You take a massive, ugly link, generate a tiny one, and when a user clicks the tiny one, they get redirected to the original destination.
Classic.
To build this, the sources suggest using Node.js and Express for the server and PostgreSQL for the database.
Let's ground those technical terms really quickly for the beginner listening. Node.js and Express are basically the software that runs on the server waiting for a request. And PostgreSQL is the heavy-duty filing cabinet that stores the data, right?
Precisely. If we use a restaurant analogy, the HTML interface is your storefront. Node and Express are the employees taking the order. And PostgreSQL is the warehouse in the back where the inventory is kept.
That makes a lot of sense.
Building a URL shortener forces you to prompt the AI for routing logic. You have to instruct the AI on how to handle the traffic when a user hits that short link and how to safely query the PostgreSQL warehouse to find the original destination.
So you're really learning how to structure backend instructions. And if you want a slightly different flavor of that, the sources also suggest a blog platform with a content management system.
Yes.
Where you're using React, which is a framework for building what the reader sees, and Node for the backend to handle author logins and publishing.
Which forces you to confront user authentication. You have to prompt the AI to handle passwords securely.
Because if you just prompt, make a login page, the AI might build a system that stores user passwords in plain text in your database.
Which is a massive real-world security flaw.
Huge.
Your job as the human reviewer is to know enough to explicitly ask the AI to implement password hashing and secure cookies.
No, I'm looking at the timeline for the next jump, and I really have to call a timeout here. The advanced tier is supposed to take 3 to 5 weeks.
Okay.
The sources list things like a full software as a service dashboard with real billing tiers using Next.js and PostgreSQL.
You do.
Wait, building a full stack SaaS with billing logic in a few weeks? That sounds like a venture-backed startup, not a side project. Is that really realistic for someone just learning? How does the AI context window not completely hallucinate and break by week two of a project that complex?
It's a vital question, and it really speaks to how rapidly the underlying technology has improved. The context window, which is the amount of code the AI can remember in a single conversation, used to be a massive bottleneck.
Yeah, it used to forget everything.
You'd build a feature on day five, and the AI would forget the database structure you set up on day one. But the tools have evolved to manage this, which we'll get into shortly. The reason this 3 to 5 week timeline is actually realistic now is that the AI already possesses the boilerplate knowledge for complex integrations, like setting up a Stripe payment gateway.
Oh, I see. It has seen a million Stripe integrations in its training data, so it knows the standard pattern.
Yes. You aren't writing the repetitive scaffolding. You're spending those weeks directing the architecture, testing the user flow, and refining the unique logic of your specific idea.
That's wild.
And the sources are emphatic that recruiters in 2026 are aggressively seeking candidates who can take an AI-powered idea out of a local testing environment and deploy it as a working application serving real users.
The other advanced project mentioned is a document Q&A tool using Python, FastPI, and vector search. This sounds like you're building your own custom ChatGPT for a specific set of PDFs.
That is essentially what it is, and it relies on vector search to function. To give a very high-level explanation, vector search is a way of turning text into mathematical coordinates on a map.
Okay.
If you upload a PDF about, say, financial laws, the AI plots all those concepts as points. When a user asks a question, the system plots their question on the same map, finds the closest information points, and uses that proximity to generate an accurate answer.
So instead of just matching exact keywords like an old school Google search, it's matching the actual meaning or semantic vibe of the text.
It matches the semantic intent. Implementing this teaches you the absolute cutting edge of AI development. You learn to prompt for API endpoints using FastAPI, which is a very fast framework for building web backends in Python-app, and you learn how to handle complex data pipelines.
Okay, we just casually talked about building a vector search Q&A tool and a SaaS dashboard with billing. If we are playing the role of the architect, we need to know what machinery our crew is actually operating, because you can't build a skyscraper with a plastic hammer.
No, you definitely cannot.
The sources outline a very specific toolkit for 2026, categorized by where you are in the build process.
It starts right in the browser with rapid prototyping tools like Bolt.new or Lovable. These are fascinating because you don't have to install anything on your machine. You just type a prompt into a website, and it generates and runs a full interactive web application right there in the browser.
It's perfect for the does this idea even make sense phase. You get a visual prototype in 3 minutes before committing weeks of your life to it. But you obviously can't build a complex backend with billing tiers in a single browser prompt.
No, eventually the complexity outgrows a single chat interface. That's when you transition to AI-first code editors. The heavyweights highlighted in the sources are Cursor AI and Windsurf. You download these to your computer, and they have secure access to your entire project directory.
This is where I think a lot of people get confused between standard ChatGPT and something like Cursor. I like to think of it this way. Standard ChatGPT is like a consultant you talk to on the phone.
Okay, I like that.
If your plumbing breaks, you have to describe your house, the pipes, the leak, and the water pressure to them over the phone before they can suggest a fix. But Cursor is like a contractor standing inside your house, physically looking at the plumbing with you.
That is an excellent way to conceptualize it. Cursor reads all your files simultaneously. If you ask it to change a database schema in one backend file, it knows you also need to update the visual user interface in a completely different frontend file to match, and it can suggest both changes at once. This effectively solves the context window problem you brought up earlier.
And yet, the sources still explicitly recommend keeping standard chat assistants like Claude or ChatGPT open in another window as a thinking partner. Why? If Cursor's already inside the house, why am I still calling the consultant on the phone?
Because Cursor is optimized for writing and editing syntax efficiently. Claude, especially its newer models, is often much better at high-level reasoning and strategy.
Ah, I see.
If you hit a bizarre architectural problem or you need someone to explain why your data structure is failing when 10 users log in at once, you paste the concept into Claude. You brainstorm the solution there, and then you bring the finalized plan back to Cursor to execute.
Okay, so we have the browser for quick prototypes, the AI editor for the multi-file heavy lifting, and the chat models for high-level strategy. That is a lot of firepower.
It really is.
Which brings me to the traps. Looking at how people usually fail when learning to code, I have to imagine the first massive pitfall here is just scope creep. When the tools are this fast, the temptation to say, I'm going to build a Spotify clone that also orders pizza must be overwhelming.
Oh, it's so common. The sources flag that as the number one reason people abandon these projects. Starting too big guarantees burnout.
Because it just gets too complicated.
Yes. The AI will eventually produce a bug you don't understand. And because the project is this massive tangled web of 50 different features, you won't be able to isolate the problem. The remedy is aggressive simplicity. Build the core feature and nothing else.
Now, thinking about the end game and getting hired, I'm guessing the second trap has to do with where the code actually lives. A lot of learners keep their projects running locally on their laptop, take a screenshot, and call it a day. But recruiters can't interact with the screenshot.
Never deploying your code is the most fatal mistake you can make for your career. The entire point of these builds is to generate proof of work. You must use free hosting services to put the application on the public internet.
If a hiring manager cannot click a link and use your app on their own phone, it essentially doesn't exist to them.
Exactly. It basically doesn't exist.
And I will venture a guess for the third trap, based on my own frustrating experiences browsing GitHub. It's the ghost town repository. You find a really cool project, but there is zero documentation, no instructions on how it works, what tools were used, or what problem it solves.
Ignoring the readme file is a massive missed opportunity. The sources are clear that communication is just as important as the code itself.
Really? Just as important?
Yes. A well-written readme explaining the project's architecture, the specific AI tools you used to build it, and the technical challenges you overcame is what actually gets read by the senior engineer tasked with interviewing you. It proves you understand the system.
Here's where it gets really interesting. If the AI is doing all the heavy lifting, do I even need to learn traditional languages like Python or JavaScript anymore? Can't I just become a professional prompter and never learn what a Boolean or a for loop is?
So, if we connect this to the bigger picture, you absolutely must know the fundamentals. The text is incredibly firm on this. It brings us full circle to the human review paradox we started with.
Wait, really? Even with all these AI tools doing the actual coding?
Yes. If you rely entirely on the AI to understand the logic, you are completely helpless when that logic breaks down.
Because the AI is that reckless junior developer. If you don't know the language, they can lie to you, and you wouldn't even know it.
Precisely. You need to know Python, which the sources note is the dominant language for AI integration and back-end data logic. And you need to know JavaScript, which remains the foundational language of the web browser.
But I don't have to memorize it all, right?
No, you do not need to memorize every single syntax rule anymore. The AI handles the memorization. But you must possess the vocabulary to read the code, spot the hallucinations, and make structural decisions. You cannot manage a team, even an AI team, if you don't understand the work they are fundamentally doing.
The tools give you unprecedented speed, but the fundamentals give you control. So, having mapped out the method, the project tiers, and the toolkit, we really have to address the ultimate so what. Why should you, listening to this right now, dedicate your precious weekends to building vibe coding side projects?
The sheer market reality of 2026 provides the answer. The data highlighted in these sources is stark. The 2025 Stack Overflow Developer Survey found that 84% of developers now use or plan to use AI tools in their daily workflow.
That number is just staggering. 84% means it's no longer an emerging trend for early adopters. It's the baseline standard.
It's the new normal, driven entirely by efficiency. The analysis showed an estimated 3.6 hours saved per week per developer. When you compound that across a large engineering organization over a year, the productivity gains are immense. Gartner estimated the AI code assistant market at $3 to $3.5 billion. The corporate world is fully invested in this paradigm shift.
But how is that translating to actual job postings, especially in major global tech hubs?
The sources point to specific market dynamics, particularly in India, which serves as a massive barometer for global tech trends. Currently, 11.7% of all job postings in India explicitly require AI skills.
Over 11%.
Yeah, and the projections show over a million AI and machine learning roles in the country, with salaries growing at 15 to 20% annually.
That's huge growth.
It is. Tech hubs and global capability centers in places like Hyderabad and Bengaluru are offering incredibly strong salary-to-cost ratios for developers who can prove they know how to wield these tools effectively.
There is the key word, prove. If 84% of people are using these tools, everyone is going to put AI prompter on their resume. How do you actually stand out in a sea of identical resumes?
This is the definitive takeaway from the entire document. The traditional resume is losing its weight. A GitHub portfolio with two or three fully deployed working projects influences your hiring chances and your salary negotiations far more than any list of skills or certifications.
So what does this all mean for you? It means listing JavaScript as a bullet point on a PDF just doesn't cut it anymore. Your public deployed portfolio is your new undeniable proof of work.
Undeniable.
When a hiring manager can click a link, log into a SaaS dashboard you built, and then look at your code to see how you structured the backend and integrated the AI, you don't have to convince them you know what you were doing. The product proves it for you.
It is the ultimate show don't tell. You bypass the initial HR screening filters because your work speaks directly to the technical team.
Let's pull all of this together. We've explored a massive shift in how software is created. We've moved away from being manual typists endlessly fighting syntax errors to acting as tech leads and architects directing powerful AI assistants.
It's a totally different mindset.
And we mapped out a clear progression from weekend weather apps that teach you API data flows to intermediate URL shorteners that introduce backend routing, all the way to advanced vector search document tools.
We examined the modern toolkit, realizing that tools like Cursor give us context-aware development inside the house, while chat models provide strategic reasoning on the phone.
Right.
But through it all, we kept returning to this central paradox. As AI takes over the scaffolding, human review and a deep understanding of programming fundamentals become the most valuable skills you can possess.
The market is aggressively rewarding the developers who can harness this workflow and prove it with deployed public projects.
This whole discussion raises one final overarching question that I want to leave everyone with. We've talked about how to adapt to the reality of 2026. But if AI is successfully taking over the boilerplate, the syntax, and the repetitive scaffolding of software, what happens to the very definition of coding in the next 5 years?
That is a deep thought. If we aren't writing the code, are we even coders?
Will we even use that word anymore? Or are we all just becoming professional problem solvers and systems thinkers? Because if the computer speaks English, and the barrier between an idea and a deployed product is simply your ability to clearly articulate a solution, then the most valuable skill isn't knowing how to write a loop. It's knowing what problems are actually worth solving. And if that is the case, what problems are you going to solve next?
I love that. What problems are you going to solve next? The tools are sitting right there. The blueprint is laid out. So take that advice to heart. Open up that browser prototype. Pick one simple idea. Step into your role as the architect and start building your foundation today.